नमः। हरिः ॐ। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां सद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। श्लोक 16। चितिच्छायासमावेशात् जीवस्याद् व्यावहारिकः अस्य जीवत्वमारोपात् साक्षिण्यव्ययभासते। आवृतौ तु विनिष्ठायां भेदे भादे पयाति तत् तथा सर्गब्रह्मणोश्च भेदमावृत्य तिष्ठति। या शक्तिस्तद्वशात् ब्रह्म विकृतत्वेन भासते अत्राप्यावृतिनाशेन विभाति ब्रह्मसर्गयोः। भेदस्तयोर्विकारस्यात् सर्गेण ब्रह्मणि क्वचित् अस्थिभातिप्रियं रूपं नामचेत्यंशपञ्चकम्। आद्यत्रयं ब्रह्मरूपं जगत्रूपं ततोद्वयं कव्वाग्निजलोर्वीषु देवतिर्यं रादिषु नरादिषु अभिन्ना सच्चिदानन्दाः विद्येते रूपनामनि। We shall stop to this shloka in the last class. Let us continue with shloka 22. Upeksha nama rupe dve sachidananda tatparaha samadhim sarvada kuryat hridaye vata vahbahihi. So with the previous shloka, the author has completed the important central topic of the text, that is the cause of samsara and the remedy for samsara. So the cause for samsara is satya mithya aviveka, and the remedy is satya mithya viveka. So from the 21st shloka up to the 31st shloka, the author goes to the next topic. Vedanta students generally say, they say that they have studied and understood Vedanta very well. Then they say that they know that one should drop the attachment to mithya and hold on to satya. But what is their complaint? The intellect understands the problem and the solution also well, but the mind is incapable of implementing the solution. That is their problem. Thus, there is an eternal gap between what the rational mind knows and what the emotional mind says. There is intellectual knowledge, but there is no corresponding experience. So by lack of experience, what do we mean? As the continuation of emotional problems, they go, that reflects the lack of experience. Some people attribute that to the non-experience of Brahman, and then say that there is only knowledge, but there is no experience of Brahman. However, the teaching is that what? There is no such thing as experience of Brahman, because Brahman is not an object. For instance, in the light and the hand example, I always give this example of holding the hand on the light and the light on the hand. The light experience is not lacking, but one takes the light for granted. In fact, the problem is what? It is not lack of Brahman experience, Brahman realization, samadhi or mystic experience, any of those. The problem is that the knowledge gained has not been internalized. The internalization is the problem. That is very important. So it is similar to, for example, coffee, sugar example. Coffee, you got coffee with sugar added, but it is not tasting sweet. So you add more sugar. One more spoon, two more spoons, and all that. But what is the problem? The sugar has not been mixed well so that it can pervade the entire coffee. Internalization of the knowledge through alert living is extremely important. It is like stirring the coffee so that the sugar taste will be spread throughout the coffee. This is called nididhyasana. This contemplation, as opposed to simple meditation, simple meditation is upasana. This contemplation, internalization, this is called nididhyasana. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasana. And we have discussed the difference in great detail in our sixth chapter introduction of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So those interested, please refer to those lectures. They are all in our site. Recordings are always there. So this contemplation or nididhyasanam or internalization, all are synonyms, is done by dwelling on the teaching as often as possible. And in the process, the word Atma, Brahman, and all those, they have to be replaced by the word I, the capital I, the non-crooked straight I. Otherwise, I would say that Atma is free, but I am miserable. So this process of dwelling on the knowledge can be done in several ways. Repeated Shravanam is one method. In Shravanam, the word Atma or Brahman should be replaced by I. Sharing, teaching, writing, discussion with fellow students, they are all so many methods of Nididhyasanam. And in all these methods, the important thing is to replace Atma or Brahman with the word I, the seer number three, the Sakshi. So among several methods of Nididhyasanam, one method is called the Samadhi. Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasanam is Samadhi, a Nididhyasanam in the form of Samadhi Abhyasa. Samadhi Abhyasa is what? It is exclusively giving some time for dwelling on the teaching. During that time, I should deliberately withdraw from all transactions and deliberately distancing from all the Ahankara roles. I should invoke my Atma Swarupam. There are many Nididhyasanam shlokas that can help me with us. And Krishna talks about this Nididhyasanam very clearly in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, very elaborately also. So is this Samadhi Abhyasa compulsory or not? If a person can internalize the teaching without the practice of Samadhi and can effect an emotional transformation also, and not get disturbed by the ups and downs of life, then Samadhi Abhyasa itself for that person is not required. For a person who is incapable of internalizing the teaching in this way, the author prescribes six types of Samadhi Abhyasa from Shloka 22 to Shloka 31. So from the 13th Shloka up to the 21st Shloka, the author deals with the central theme of the text, which is the cause of samsara and the remedy for samsara. So the cause of samsara is the ignorance-based mixing up of the real and the unreal, mithya and satya vastu. So this mixing up that takes place both at the subjective level between the seer and the seen, and the objective level between the Brahman and the universe. We have wrong self-image and have a wrong expectation from the world. These two together cause samsara. So both the things, mixing up that takes place at the subjective level between the seer and the seen, and the objective level between Brahman and the universe. And we also have a wrong self-image and have a wrong expectation from the world. So these two are the cause of samsara. So these two have to be sorted out by what? By discrimination or viveka, through proper inquiry. And that inquiry is done by Vedanta Shravanam and Manana, which leads to correction at the subjective level and at the objective level. All these things we already are very familiar from all of our Vedanta classes. I'm just only refreshing. So subjectively, I learned that I'm emotionally independent. And objectively, I learned that the unstable Nama Rupa, the world, cannot give lasting security to me at all. So Krishna actually uses two adjectives to describe this: Nitya Triptaha, that means a person who is always contented at the subjective level, and Nirashrayaha, without any support, independent at the objective level. So from verses 22 to 31, the author talks about the assimilation, the internalization of the teaching, because without internalization, the teaching will remain an academic knowledge only. Emotional benefits are possible only when the knowledge is internalized. And for this internalization, Nididhyasanam is prescribed from Shloka 22 to 31. Nididhyasanam can be practiced in many ways, as I mentioned. The definition of Nididhyasanam is what? Vedantic meditation, dwelling upon the teaching intently by providing quality time and not trying to get rid of thoughts or remaining thought free. This is very important. If dwelling on the teaching is meditation, it can be done in any manner that is convenient to us. It can be in the form of repeated listening aided by the teacher, or it can be done independently in the form of reading, writing, discussing, or teaching. Physical posture is not the primary component of meditation. It is only incidental, but the mental posture is the primary component. One can do meditation dwelling on the teaching even while walking on a beach. Sitting meditation, taking care of the physical posture, is also a form of meditation, which is called Samadhi Abhyasa. In this meditation, a person sits in a particular posture, withdraws the sense organs, closes the eyes, and intently dwells upon the teaching. All this, Ashtanga Yoga, culminating in Samadhi. They all prescribe all that. And whatever be the form of meditation, one factor is very important, which makes meditation different from Shravanam. Whenever the word Brahman or Atma, whenever that word is there, the descriptions come in Shravanam, we always think of Brahman and Atma as some external entities, which we have to directly come across in meditation or some other sadhana. That is what we think. This is objectification orientation, to objectify Brahman. So any amount of dwelling on the teaching with this orientation will not bless the student completely at all. Every time the words Brahman and Atma have to be replaced by the word I, with consistency and with conviction. That is what a person has to do. I should also remind myself, I am not getting freedom during this meditation. If the attitude is that the Nidhyasana will lead to freedom, moksha, then I have gotten out of this teaching. So the teaching says, freedom is not a future event. Moksha, liberation, is not a future event, but the eternal nature of myself, I am free right now. The teaching never says, I will become Brahman, but it says that I am Brahman, aham Brahma asmi, present tense. If I am not free now, I will never be free. There is no corridor connecting bondage and liberation. The bound can never become free. Finite can never become infinite. That means that either I am eternally finite or eternally infinite. If I am eternally finite, I can never be free. If I am eternally infinite, I am ever free. If I am ever free, I am free during Nididhyasanam also. When I sit for Nididhyasanam, I should tell myself, I am practicing this Nididhyasanam not for getting freedom, but for claiming the fact that I was, I am, and I ever will be free. This is the difference between Shravanam and Nididhyasanam. During Shravanam, the objectification orientation can set in, and it is not a problem. But in Nididhyasanam, the I orientation with respect to Atma, I means capital I, orientation with respect to Atma or Brahman in the form of non-doer, akarta, non-experier, abhokta, all those things should be practiced. This need not happen in Shravanam, but if this orientation happens in Shravanam, then Shravanam itself is Nididhyasana. If this orientation happens in Shravanam itself for a person, then that Shravanam itself is Nididhyasana. If that does not happen in Shravanam, then in meditation, I should make it an I, capital letter I, oriented meditation. I oriented meditation. And in this shloka, the author is talking about Samadhi Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasana. Samadhi Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasana. So sixfold samadhis is prescribed in this section. This is a unique approach that is not found in any other Vedantic text. So a general enumeration of the six practices will be given, and the details will be seen later through the corresponding verses. And the author describes the six samadhis in actually in a kind of a chart form. So you can imagine like a chart. First, the samadhi is divided into two types. One is called internal samadhi, antara samadhi, and another one is external samadhi, bahya samadhi, antara and bahya. Then the internal samadhi itself is divided into two samadhis called savikalpa samadhi and nirvikalpa samadhi. Then the internal savikalpa samadhi is further divided into object associated savikalpa samadhi, that is called in the shloka drishya anuvidha. Anuvidha means associated. Drishya is object. So object associated anuvidha, that samadhi. And another word is word associated, shabda anuvidha, that is thought and all that thing, that kind of samadhi. So this internal, so this samadhi is divided into two, that is antara samadhi, bahya samadhi. Antara samadhi is also this internal, divided savikalpa and nirvikalpa. Then savikalpa is further divided into drishya anuvidha and shabda anuvidha, object associated and shabda anuvidha, thoughts and all. Then the external samadhi also same thing is done. That is divided into savikalpa and nirvikalpa. Then the external savikalpa is further divided into object associated, drishya anuvidha, and word associated, shabda anuvidha. We are going to describe all of them. To summarize, then what happens now? These six samadhis are the following. What are the following six samadhis now? Number one, antara, internal, drishya anuvidha, object-oriented, savikalpa samadhi, internal object-oriented, savikalpa samadhi. And second one is antara, shabda anuvidha, savikalpa samadhi, internal, word-associated, savikalpa samadhi. Here, word means not just word. Shruti, Vedam, is called word. Any word in the Veda mantras, they can be taken for the particular meditation. The third one is antara nirvikalpa samadhi, internal nirvikalpa samadhi. Then the fourth one is bahya drishya anuvidya savikalpa samadhi, the external object associated savikalpa samadhi, and bahya shabda anuvidya savikalpa samadhi, external word associated savikalpa samadhi, and bahya nirvikalpa samadhi, external nirvikalpa samadhi. So these are the six samadhis. And Nididhyasana is an exercise in which the mind is focused on Satchidananda. Satchidananda means the limitless existence consciousness. Sat is existence, Chit is consciousness, and Ananda, always told, means Ananta, the limitless, infinite. As I am, the subject, meditator himself, by filtering out the Nama Rupas that is mixed with the Satchidananda. So Satchidananda is not available in pure form in any state, waking state, dreaming state, sleep state, or even samadhi state. Satchidananda is always mixed with either manifest or unmanifest Namarupa. In meditation, I should remember actually shloka number 20 that we did in the last class. Asti bhadi priyam rupam namachetyam sha panchakam adyatrayam brahma rupam jagadrupam tatodvayam. Where the five components, asti, bhati, priyam, these three are changeless. And nama rupa, which are changing, they were described. Asti, bhati, priyam, rupam, nama, chetyam, shapanjakam. Asti means existence. Bhati, consciousness. Priyam, happiness. Rupam, form. And nama, name. These are the five components. Adya trayam brahma. In that, the first three, asti, bhati, and brahman, brahma, priyam, they are Satchidananda, belong to Brahman, which is uniform. Here Ananda is, we made this point clear in the last class itself, just only to refresh. Here Ananda is not experiential pleasure. Experiential pleasure is not Brahmananda, but it is the Ananda that is reflected in the mind. Since the mind has fluctuations, the Ananda seems to have fluctuations. The original Atmananda is ever, in every living being is the same. But when the original Ananda reflects in the mind, it varies according to the condition, sattva, raja, and tamogunas, which are variable in all the people of the mind. So the other two, namely Rupam and Nama, they belong to the unstable, changing mithya world and are unreliable. And there we said, this mixture of asti, bhadi, priyam is meditated upon focusing on the changeless feature of Satchidananda, ignoring the changing feature of Nama and Rupa. So even though changing Namarupa is falling in the purview of knowledge, it is not focused. But changeless aspect is focused for absorption and the practice is repeated often. So this meditation is done also in two ways. One is meditating on any internal object such as a thought. Meditation on thought. Every thought has the five components. Every thought is considered and the Satchidananda part is focused on ignoring the name and form of the thought. Thought also has got all these five components. And this is absorption in the changeless aspect of thoughts, the internal objects. And this is closed eye meditation, we can call it. And the other is meditating on any external object, focusing on its changeless aspect also. This is called open eye meditation. Now let us look at this sloka. Upekshanama rupe dve sachidananda tatparaha samadhim sarvada kuryat hridaye vata vabahihi. Upekshyam nama rupe dve. Having become indifferent, upekshya, to both name and form, Satchidananda san, being devoted to Satchidananda, kridaye va atava bahihi, either in the heart, kridaye internally, or bahihi outside. Samadhim sarvada kuryat. One should practice samadhi, concentration all the time. So having become indifferent to name and form, and being totally absorbed in Satchidananda, the lakshyartha, the implied meaning of all objects, of the nature of existence, consciousness, bliss, one should always practice samadhi, either within the heart or outside. Shloka 23. Savikalpo nirvikalpaha samadhirvividahridhim drishya sabdhanu vidhenam savikalpa punarvidham. Samadhi is divided into two samadhis we mentioned in the previous shloka, savikalpa samadhi and nirvikalpa samadhi. Savikalpa samadhi, here one concentrates the mind on Brahman without completely losing distinctions like knower, knowledge, the object, the known. All these differences are still maintained. Without losing these distinctions, he still concentrates the mind on Brahman. And Nirvikalpa Samadhi is the state where one makes oneself free from all thoughts of distinctions as the knower, known, and knowledge. And the Savikalpa Samadhi itself can be divided further into two. One associated with an object called Drishyam, and the other associated with the Vedantic words such as Shakti, Satyam, Sakshi, Nityam, Adhishtanam, all those things. So, which have been thoroughly studied and become personally meaningful to me during Shravanam and Manana. So, Nididhyasanam comes after Shravanam Manana. Somebody saying that I'm going to meditation classes somewhere. They are all academic meditations. Nididhyasanam has to come only after systematic Shravanam and Manana. So, in Savikalpa Samadhi, some support is used as an aid. For example, using the hand for meditating on light. My object is to meditate on the light, but I'm using hand as a medium. Then the support that the hand is removed and the focus is turned towards the unmanifest light that still continues. When I have my hand, the light is on the hand all over. I remove the hand, light is still there. So without the medium, without the support of the hand, I learn to meditate on the light. So when the light is focused, without the support of the hand, it is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Similarly, the support in the form of the thought or the word is used and this focus is turned towards the Satchidananda Brahma. Now look at the sloka here. Savikalpo Nirvikalpaha Samadhir Dvido Hridi. Dvividaha, two parts. Drishya Sabdhanu Vidyena Savikalpaha Punadvida. So samadhi dvivido hridi means two kinds of samadhi have to be practiced in one's heart, hridi. Savikalpa samadhi, savikalpo nirvikalpaha, known as savikalpa samadhi and nirvikalpa samadhi. Savikalpaha punar dvida. Savikalpa is again further divided into two classes. Drishya sabdhanu vidhena, according to its association with a cognizable object, that is drishya, or sound, shabda. as an object. So two kinds of samadhis are to be practiced in the heart, known as Savikalpa Samadhi and Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Savikalpa is again divided into two classes according to its association with cognizable objects, drishyam, or a sound as an object. Shloka 24. Kamadhyā cittagā drishyāha tatsākṣitvena cetanam dhyāye drishyānu viddhoyam samādhi savikalpakaha. From the 24th shloka onwards, the author describes how the six samadhis are to be practiced. The six samadhis which we enumerated in the previous shloka. So shloka 24, the present shloka, 25 and 26, they deal with the first three samadhis. What are those first samadhis we just read? One is antara, drishya, anuvidya, drishya anuvidya savikalpa samadhi, the internal object associated savikalpa samadhi. And the second one is antara, shabda anuvidya savikalpa samadhi, internal word associated, shabda means word, from the Vedic words, savikalpa samadhi. And third, antara nirvikalpa samadhi, internal nirvikalpa samadhi. And shlokas 27, 28 and 29, they are going to deal with the second three samadhis. And what are those? Bahya drishyanu vidya savilka samadhi, external bahya, external object associated, savikalpa samadhi. Bahya shabda anuvidya savikalpa samadhi, external word associated, savikalpa samadhi. Bahya nirvikalpa samadhi, external nirvikalpa samadhi. So this shloka, shloka 24 that we just read, it describes the internal thought associated savikalpa samadhi. This is thought meditation, we can call it. There is no need to remove the thoughts. Many people, they recommend removal of thoughts for meditation. There is no need to remove any thoughts. This is very difficult to do. The author prescribes a meditation here in which thoughts can be entertained. No need to remove the thoughts. For example, let us consider the following example as for meditation itself. Let us visualize a room. Let us imagine that there is a powerful central light in the room, very powerful light, which lights up the entire room. And the light pervades the entire room. And imagine that people are coming into the room and going out of the room. And everyone that is coming in and going out is known because of the light principle, which is normally ignored. First, the attention is focused on the people and then only on the light. Then the features of the light and the people are compared and then contrasted in this exercise. People and objects are many and the light is only one. That is the first observation we make. And people and objects arrive and depart. Light does not arrive and depart. People are divisible from one another, whereas light is not divisible. It is indivisible. People have forms. Light does not have form. People can be contaminated by dirt or by each other in the room, whereas light cannot be contaminated. Then the focus should be on the light alone with its characteristics. So now we have focused on the people coming into the room and going out of the room and the light. Now we are going to focus only on the light with its characteristics. So now if using this example, then we can do the first meditation, the internal meditation as described by the author here. What is the exercise? The exercise is to focus the attention on the light and compare and contrast the features of the light and the objects. The people coming and going, they are the objects. So we have to compare and contrast the features of the light and the objects. The features of the light can be summarized as what are the things now? Light is not a part, product, or property of any object. It is an independent entity. It is not a part, it is not a product or property of any object, any people there. Light is an independent entity that pervades and illumines the objects. It is independent, it pervades and illumines the objects in the room. And light is not limited by the boundaries of the object. Between people also, there is a person, there is another person. In between them also, there is light. And it is not bound by the boundaries of the object. Light continues to exist even after the object is removed. After all the people, they left the room also, light continues to be there. So the existing light is not accessible at that time because of the absence of the reflecting medium, namely the people. This is light samadhi. This kind of meditation on the light is light samadhi. So the same practice is now applied internally. In the place of the room, there is the mind. It's a big mind. Vrittis are thoughts, desire, anger, all those them that arise in the mind and fall like the waves in the ocean. They are similar to the people and the objects in the light samadhi example that we just said. And these thoughts are insentient by themselves. And they are known because of something other than the thoughts, which is the consciousness principle, the Sakshi Tattvam. And the first stage in this samadhi is paying attention to the consciousness principle. That is the first stage in the samadhi, is paying attention to the consciousness principle. Then the thoughts and the consciousness, they should be differentiated. The thoughts and the consciences should be differentiated. Thoughts come and go like people. Thoughts come and go. Consciousness does not come and go. Thoughts do not pervade the whole mind. They are only waves in the mind. But consciousness pervades everywhere. Thoughts have forms such as a part thought, a computer thought, a movie thought, any of those. Whereas consciousness is formless. Thoughts are divisible and consciousness is indivisible. And finally, and more importantly, the nature of the thought, the impurities of the thought, they do not belong to consciousness. Consciousness is neither contaminated or affected by the impurities in the thought. And consciousness is without any attributes. Thus, I focus on the Sakshi Chaitanyam and its nature. Okay. Then between the example, that is the light example, and Chaitanyam, there is only one important difference. Because we cannot just extrapolate everything. We have to only take what is relevant to us. Between this light example and Chaitanyam that we just now said, there is one important difference. Light happens to be an object other than me. Light happens to be an object other than me, whereas consciousness is not an object. While meditating on consciousness, I should not objectify the formless consciousness. It's a very important point to note. While meditating on consciousness, I should not objectify the consciousness, the formless consciousness. This illumining consciousness should not be objectified because that consciousness is what? Is I am. The meditation should not be, this illumining consciousness should not be objectified because it is the very I am. Then the meditation should be is what? As I am illumining every thought. Not the light is illumining or consciousness is illumining. I am illumining every thought. Even after every thought goes away, I continue doing during the absence of the thoughts also. Even after every thought goes, I continue during the absence of thoughts. Why? Because that blank mind is known to me. I say I blanked out. Many times people say, blanked out. How do you know the blank mind? Because I am the Chaitanyam. I know the blankness in the thought also. So first focus on thought and then come to the Sakshi. Then to I. So this is how the meditation has to be practiced. First focus on the thought. Then come to the Sakshi, the Chaitanyam. Then understand that it is me, I. Only when the meditation becomes the I meditation, Nididhyasanam reaches completion. Because problem is this. All this Nididhyasanam is for what? To remove my objectification tendency. I am the Chaitanyam. I don't have to think this internalization once it comes. I won't think that that knowledge is going to come sometime in future. I am the Chaitanyam now. It's not going to be an event tomorrow. Or any time. So the phrase, so Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham, in the Nirvana Shatkam verse, is an excellent Sakshi meditation first phrase. I like this particular section very well. Na mrityur na shanka na me jati bhedaha, pita naiva me naiva mata na janma, na bandur na mitram guru naiva shishyaha. Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. Shiva Kevaloha. From I, the consciousness in my mind, I should go to I, the consciousness in all the minds. Look at the Chitta Visharata instantly. From the I, that is why in the Sandhyavandana Karma, when the child at 7 years is initiated, 5 years initiated, after doing the Agya Pradhanam, the child says, Asau Adityaha Brahma, Brahma Eva Ahamasmi. Whatever is in the distant sun, 95 millions are so many miles away. And what is there in me? Substantially both are same. Asau Adityaha Brahma, Brahma Eva Ahamasmi. Then the meditation should progress in the form of, I am not in all the minds, but all the minds are resting in me. All are bombshells. How to train the thoughts. It should progress in the form of what? I am not in all the minds, but all the minds are in me. They rest in me. Like space, I accommodate everything. So from the light example, I come then to the space example. I look at all the Vedantic teachings. And in the place of Brahman, Atma, Sakshi, and all those words, I use the word I. This is the main feature of Nididhyasana. And only then Ahankara will get weakened. I didn't say it will get disappeared. It will get weakened. Because the ego bhava, Aham Karta bhava, Aham Bhokta bhava, will not that easily go. There are many objects present in the mind in the form of thoughts, vrittis. For example, desire, anger, kama, krodha, lobha, modha, moha, madha, matsarya, these. And a list of thoughts, as an example, we saw it in the shloka 4, in Drishya Viveka itself, if you remember. Kama sankalpa sandehau, shraddha shradde dhriti dhare, krihi, drihi, dihi, bihi, ityeva madhine, pasayatye kadachitihi, krihi, dihi, dhi means buddhi, bihi, fear. All this ityeva. In the very same mind, there is present the consciousness principle as the illuminator of all those vrittis. We have to understand that without any confusion. The very same mind, there is present the consciousness principle as the illuminator of all the vrittis, all the thoughts. Just like there is no distance between the hand and the light, there is no distance between the vrittis and the illuminating consciousness. No distance between the vrittis and the illuminating consciousness. When they are thus together, the changing vrittis get the attention and not the changeless consciousness. It's a beautiful way of explaining the same thing. When they are thus together, the vrittis and the consciousness, the changing vrittis get the attention and not the changeless consciousness. that consciousness, that Atma is always present. But I have not paid attention to it. Like the light on the hand is always present, but I see only the hand. That consciousness, that Atma is always present. I have only not paid attention to it. Vedanta is drawing my attention to that already evident consciousness. That's all Vedanta does. It draws my attention to that already evident consciousness. You don't have to have a separate proof. It is always evident. I should focus on that Sakshi Chaitanya. Focusing upon the Sakshi is nothing but entertaining thoughts regarding Sakshi. Focusing upon the Sakshi means what? Entertaining the thoughts regarding the Sakshi only. The mind functions only through entertaining thoughts. How the mind functions? Through entertaining thoughts only. Entertaining thoughts such as the Sakshi is in the mind and the Sakshi is the illuminator is the meditation or focusing on the Sakshi. What is thought meditation, Sakshi meditation? Entering, you always entertain those thoughts that the Sakshi is in the mind. And the Sakshi is the illuminator, is the meditation on focusing on the Sakshi. So this meditation in which I entertain thoughts regarding the Sakshi is called Antara Drishya Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. So that is what we described for this shloka, that it is this particular samadhi is described in the 24th shloka, which is Antara Drishya Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. Now let us see the shloka. Kamadya chittagha drishyaha tatsakshitvena chetanam dhyaye drishyanu viddhoyam samadhi savikalpakaha. Kamadya chittagha, desire, kamadya, kamadhi, desire and all those things centered in the mind, chittagha. Drishyaha are to be treated as cognizable objects. Chetanam tat sakshitvena dhyayet. Meditate on dhyayet. Meditate on consciousness, chetanam, as their witness, sakshitvena. I am drishyanu viddaham savikalpaha samadhi. This is what is known as savikalpa samadhi associated with cognizable objects. Drishyanu viddaha. Subject cognizable samadhi associated with the objects, cognizable objects. I am drishyanuviddho savikalpa samadhi. Let us go to shloka 25. Asanga sachidanandaha swaprabodvaita varjitaha atmiti shabda viddhoyam samadhi savikalpakaha. We are now entering into the second form of meditation known as Antara Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. The earlier one was Drishya Anuvidya. Now it is Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. So what is the difference between the first one and the second one, this one? In the first one that we just now did, I focus on the Chaitanyam as the Sakshi of the thought. I focus on the Chaitanyam as the Sakshi of the thought. I make use of the thought as an aid to come to the Chaitanyam. Just as in the example, the hand was used as an aid to bring my attention to the imperceptible light. The thought is the reflection medium for the Chaitanyam. The thought, any thought that we are entertaining, that is the reflecting medium for the Chaitanyam. And repeated practice of bringing the attention away from the thoughts to consciousness, to Chaitanyam, by which the thoughts are experienced. So repeated practice of bringing the attention away from the thoughts to consciousness, by which the thoughts are experienced. So the mind will gain the capacity to remain with the consciousness principle without being distracted by the thoughts. So bringing the attention away from the thoughts. So then the mind will gain the capacity to remain with the consciousness principle without being distracted by the thoughts. And having established the mind in Sakshi, the Chaitanyam, taking away from the thoughts, the various other aspects of the Sakshi are dwelt upon now. The final feature being that the Chaitanyam is I am. So one meditates on the various other aspects of the Sakshi that we have understood. As I mentioned, it's not a product, property and all that. So the final feature being that Chaitanyam is I am. And what are the features that I should dwell upon? So from the Upanishads, I can draw any number of features. Generally, it is suggested that one should take a word from the Upanishads or Bhagavad Gita or Prakarana Granthas, anywhere to dwell upon. One can take any word. And in such a session of Nididhyasanam, a different word can be used in each session. In one session, one can use a particular word. Another thing in another word, one can use that word itself to try to exercise the mind to understand this. Since the words from the Upanishads are used to dwell on the Sakshi, this meditation is called Antara Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. There is no object here. This is Shabda. The words themselves are used from the Upanishads or any of those scriptures that we just now mentioned. That is, to dwell upon the Sakshi, this meditation is called Antara Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. Thoughts are used in the first Samadhi to arrive at the Sakshi, which we said in the previous sloka. Thoughts are used in the first samadhi to arrive at the Sakshi. And in this samadhi, in this shloka, the features of the Sakshi are focused on. It is like meditating upon the light without the help of the hand. The first very powerful word, asanga, unattached, used in these words is taken from the Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. That's a very good Brahmanam that I used to like at that time itself. And that word, asanga, means I do not have any relationship with anything in the creation. The notions of I and mine are delusions that cause sorrow. Asangoham, asangoham, asangoham punapunaha. Satchidananda swarupoham ahamaiva ahamavyayaha. That is what Brahmajnanavali Mala. Acharya read it, one of the very good shlokas that I like the very master. When actually I remember when the Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam was done in Brihadaranyaka, I recited the entire Swayam the Brahmajnanavali Mala because that is something I like very much. We are always disturbed by one relationship or the other. Always. One should become a mental renunciate, one can call. I, this Sakshi, am pure existence that is all pervading, pure consciousness, and the very Ananda that comes in the mind in the reflected form. That is how my reflection to be, my thought, my exercise to be of Nididhyasana. My reflection alone is all the pleasures of the world. My reflection alone is the all the pleasures of the world is my reflection. All the experiential flesh pleasures are my own reflection in the mind and do not come from outside. All the experiential pleasures are my own reflection in the mind and do not come from outside. This has to be repeatedly asserted in the meditation because running after the ananda outside is one form of samsara also. Once we start running after the ananda from outside, that is another form of samsara. I, the ananda, am not an experiential pleasure because I, the Ananda, am permanently present. The experiential pleasures are impermanent and are only reflections of the I, the Ananda. I am the non-experiential permanent pleasure. And my reflection in the mind is the temporary pleasure. I am the non-experiential permanent pleasure. And my reflection in the mind is the temporary pleasure. Consciousness is experienced in all the states of the mind without any effort. And a special state is not needed for that experience. And so I am self-evident. Whether it is in waking state, dream state, or deep sleep state, I am ever self-evident. It is consciousness is not experienced in all the states of the mind also without any effort. I am without a second thing. I am non-dual, ekam eva adritiyam. ஐ ஆம் ஒன் ஏகம் ஏவ ஒன்லி அத்வித்தீயம் வித்வுட் அ டூ நான் டியூவல். ஐ ஆம் த சாட்சி ஆஃப் த மைண்ட் அண்ட் த தாட்ஸ் ஆர் த விட்னஸ்ட் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ். த சாட்சியம் விட்னஸ் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் சாட்சி அண்ட் சாட்சியம் லைக் திருஷ்யம். த வெரி ஃபேக்ட் தட் ஐ கிளைம் தட் ஐ ஆம் சாட்சி தட் ப்ரீ சப்போசஸ் த ப்ரசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் சாட்சியம். The very fact that I claim that I am Sakshi, it presupposes the presence of Sakshiyam. Thus, there are two entities, and so a doubt may arise as to how it is said that I am non-dual. Because there is Sakshi and Sakshiyam, Drig and Drishyam. When we say that two entities are said, so a doubt will arise as to how it is said I am non-dual. This non-dual nature can be assimilated only when it is known that drishyam or sakshyam is experienced and it is mithya. Any vastu that is experienced is mithya. The meditator should have thoroughly assimilated the teaching of the mithya, mithya nature of the experienced world and the objects taught in the second chapter of Mandukya Karika. Please refer to those lectures. When I mention all these, those lectures are already available. Mandukya Upanishad, this Vaitatya Prakaranam, it says experience is not proof of reality. By saying that experience is proof of reality, no. It says clearly, experience is not proof of reality. Experience of the appearing object is not the proof of reality of the existence of the object. The dream is experienced and appears to be real, but it is mithya. Similarly, the world is experienced and appears to be real. That is also mithya. Drishyam sakshyam is mithya and drik sakshi is satyam. So this is how the meditation should be. So in the meditation sakshi should be replaced by, as I told you, aham, I. I am satyam and the world is mithya. Brahma satyam, jagan mithya. That should be meditated upon. I am Satyam and the world is Mithya. If I and the world, I have already told you, Mithya is not unreal, appears to be real. If I and the world have the same order of reality, world can adversely affect me. If I and the world have the same order of reality, the world will adversely affect me. Fear, all those things. There is a second one. Only when the world is clearly known to be mithya, the fear of the world and the most important aspect of the world, the time, with its capacity to bring about changes and modifications will go away. Oh, I am young. I am going to grow old. I am going to die. All dependent on time. They will all go away. So the mithya world is as good as non-existent. All these Upanishadic statements should be remembered in the meditation and their meanings as my description, my means I, aham, should be dwelt upon in this meditation. Long meditation on I am relationship, I am relationless, I am self-evident, non-dual, pure existence, pure consciousness, pure fullness, that should be done. I am full. I don't lack anything. Thoughts are very much present in this Vedantic meditation. It is not a thoughtless meditation. All these things, like, we have to understand. Normally people think all the thoughts all have to be withdrawn. This is not a stage where thoughts are not there. Thoughts are very much present in this Vedantic meditation, Nididhyasana. Stopping thoughts is yogic meditation. All the Yamaniyamasana, and that all these Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga. In that yogic meditation, thoughts are, stopping the thoughts are recommended. Entertaining Vedantic thoughts is Vedantic meditation. Here we never say, stop the thoughts. Entertain Vedantic thoughts. This is Antara Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. The one where the association is with the Vedic words. Are the words in the scriptures. It is an internal meditation connected with Vedantic words. So now let us look at the sloka. Asangaha Sachidanandaha Swaprabho Dvaita Varjitaha Asmiti Shapta Viddhoyam Samadhihim Savikalpakaha. Aham, we have to supply aham here. Aham, I am. Asangaha, I am asangaha. Sachidanandaha, Soprabaha. Dvaitavadjitaha, I am unattached, asangaha. Sachidanandaha, of the nature of existence, consciousness, and ananda. Self-luminous Soprabaha. Dvaitavadjitaha, free from duality. Prapanjopashamam, shantam, shivam. Advaitam, Chaturtham Manyante, Savigneyaha, Saatma. Mandukya. Asmi, ayam iti, Shabda Viddaha, Savikalpaha, Samadhi. This is known as the other kind of Savikalpa Samadhi. This Shabda Viddaha, Savikalpa Samadhi. Asmi iti, associated with Shabda. So in this Samadhi, a person thinks, I am the witness, the innermost self. The object of one's meditation is the non-dual self from the distinctions of desire and all that, which are far into Atma. There is only the self-consciousness. And this sort of concentration is called Savikalpa, as it is not free from ideas altogether. There is still thought still there. And such ideas, I am unattached and all those things are there. They are present in this samadhi, so it is still comes under Savikalpa Samadhi, endowed with all these attributes. Next shloka, shloka 26. I may have to give a long introduction to this shloka. Maybe I will take up in the next class, because if I take up, it will be incomplete. So it is better I take that shloka in the next class. यो वेदादौ स्वरप्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य परसमहेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।